Hey, it's the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. Welcome to another episode of our Christmas series.
Yes, finding Jesus in our favorite Christmas movies.
And I see that I am not the only one wearing something that has lettering on it.
I am being festive.
Did you buy this for yourself or did your wife buy this?
Can you read it verbatim?
This is my Hallmark movie watching sweatshirt.
Yes, it is. And I'm not ashamed. You brought it up on the air without my permission the other day.
I did.
And you know what? I'm going to live it, okay?
You should live it.
I'm out there and I'm loving every minute of it.
For a second there, you were a little ashamed.
Well, of course.
Because you said the words. We promised that we would never talk about this.
I told you that in confidence.
I told you that in confidence. That's what you say.
Yeah.
And clearly, I'm proud of you. You're starting New Year's a little early with your resolution.
Do you know what my wife also has? A matching one of these.
Of course she does. And did you buy them or did she?
I think I approved. I said, I'll do it. Yeah.
But she bought them. That's my point.
Yeah.
Because there's no way you would have gone out and go, let's
No,
dance!
No.
No.
All right. No. We are so excited for this. If you want to see the sweatshirt, by the way, you can text the word quiet to the number 893-893. In case you've been listening, maybe even for years, but you never moved over to watching, it's now on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And we're at the second part of our Christmas series. Last week was a Christmas carol.
Did you just want to just glaze over my shirt?
Oh, yeah, you have the...
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're not wearing a cheesy Christian shirt today.
But it's a Christian shirt.
It's shaped like a tree, and it says... Well, what is it? It's Luke 2:11.
Well, it's Luke 2:11. So
I can't see all the words.
You can't see... Well, yeah, for unto you is born this day...
Okay, yes.
In the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So it looks like a Christmas tree. Sometimes they have these, like... And I almost bought the one that was Star Wars.
Oh.
They have, like... May the Force be with you. It's all really cool looking Christmas tree.
Well, this one's classy. This is good.
This one's classy.
And it matches your earrings.
It does.
Yeah.
Thank you for... Hey, you get boy points today.
Wow.
Boy points.
Oh, high five. All okay. right. I'm wearing Hallmark. I'm noticing earrings. But I'm going to start holding purses here in a little bit.
Here's the thing. Today's movie, I personally have hated forever. And when I watched it this time, maybe it's because I'm getting older. I don't know. But I'm like, I'm going to give it another shot. And I went in with an open mind and I'm like, okay, I can see why this was a classic when it came out. It came out in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes place, in quotes, in the 40s.
Yep.
And it's a Christmas story.
A Christmas story. You'll shoot your eye out. All right. So here's, yes. I think we've done this series for a couple years and we didn't pick this one because I do like it on in the background, but I'm a little bit of the same way.
It's kind of negative.
It is a little bit of a negative
movie.
Actually,
it's very negative if you think about it.
But the series is finding biblical principles. So if there's bad examples, we'll get to name them as well.
And if you're the person that's like, oh, when you hear us say, oh, you don't like it and you love it, that's fantastic. Yeah. My uncle, who I love, loves this movie.
I know people that watch all of them on TBS for 24 straight hours.
And I really did enjoy the one where, I forget what's his name, Peter Billingsley, is that his name?
That's the kid's name.
That, and he was in Elf later.
Yes, he was.
No, you're not a cotton-headed ninny muggins, that guy.
Yeah.
He did a great job well, I don't know, it's not a sequel, is it? Because there was
I didn't see this.
There's a Christmas Story too.
I didn't see it.
Which I didn't see that. But I did see the newest one, which is, I think, A Christmas Story. I think it's what it's called.
What? Okay. Now I'm lost. I didn't even know that would existed.
It's really good.
This is one that's been around. People love. Mm-hmm. And if you're totally unfamiliar, it's just basically a story about a family, one Christmas, and he wants a certain Christmas present.
And the iconic things that would make them go, oh, I've seen that stuff. The leg lamp.
Yes, we'll get to that.
And the pink bunny.
Yes.
That's that movie.
So let me get started. Because the one right off the bat that hit me is The Dad with the Furnace.
Oh my gosh.
And it just kind of, there wasn't a specific verse that came to mind, but he is, and I'm going to compliment the dad later. But in this case, he loses it with the furnace because it is this broken old thing. He even complains about it up front. You know, mm-hmm. Dad, what do you want for Christmas? And he says, how about a new furnace? And then he goes and fights this thing in the basement. And his son, I think, kind of finds it as admirable. Ralphie finds it admirable. But he's down there cussing. And he's down there doing all the things.
He sounds like Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, you can't really make out the curse words.
Racket, or like Joe Pesci from Home Alone.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that. But it still made me think, what kind of dad do I want to be?
Mm-hmm.
How do I want to lose it on stuff like that? Is this the example that I want to set for my son?
Yeah, and also the fact that his dad, I love the narration where it's like he labels what the furnace is, which is my dad was always one who could take on the
It was a battle, right?
Yeah, he made it into this epic battle. So this was a routine. This wasn't just the one time. And we see him later in the movie. He's been down there and he's black smoke everywhere.
Right.
And you can tell by just the way the mom is, she has just dealt with her husband being the fix-it guy.
Yeah.
He's not going to get outside help. He's going to fix it.
Right.
Why would you call the handyman when I'm right here? Why would we need to talk to an electrician?
This is interesting.
All of the plugs that are in this one outlet.
Right, right. Yeah. I'm going to certainly get to this with the leg lamp, but this is an interesting point of another time where love language would be a key. Because this relationship, you're right, he's not even acknowledging that she just can we just truly get it fixed?
Yeah.
He's sitting there trying to do it all himself.
And I mean, we see it all throughout. So he's the fastest fuse fixer in the West, you know, kind of a thing. We also know that apparently he could change a tire, which when I see the tires again, I'm looking at the tire. I would really love for them to zoom in on the tires because apparently she goes, oh, not again. How many times?
Right.
Ralphie's only 9 years old.
Yeah.
And Ralphie's like, my dad was the fastest. And he would like, hey, time me. Right. I'll do it in 4 minutes. They look like they were made out of that hard, like the really thick balloon stuff. That's what they look like.
Get new tires, dude.
Get tires. I don't think those are those are giant.
Well,
Cheerios.
It could have been the bad movie prop too. Who knows?
That could have been.
Yeah.
But they mentioned that they said those aren't even tires, if you could call them that.
So that's
like,
right.
Well, what was that? Was it something from the 40s that I'm not aware of? The people like back in the day, they were like, "Oh, this will get us by." There was not a spare tire.
I still think it's a great lesson, though, of he is so in the zone, and not looking at his wife's needs, and how to make their life better together.
Well, and unfortunately, that does trickle down. I mean, we see it in one of the parts is where they're all sitting at a meal, which is so lovely. I mean, if your wife, mom, grandmother cooks, you are a blessed human being. Mm. You are blessed because in my home last night, my kids were like, okay, let's see, Schlotzky's or pizza? Because that's what's going to
You're not a gifted cook.
End up on your plate that's not – right. Well, when I do cook – everything is savory and blackened.
Well done on everything.
That's a pancake, and it's blackened.
But you're right. She's cooking for the family.
Yeah, she's cooking for the family, and he notes that she hadn't had a hot home-cooked meal since he knew her.
Yeah.
Because they're like, can I have some more? And she literally just sat down.
Yeah.
You see a little bit of exasperation, but can I just say – the desire to serve her family wins out over the exasperation.
Mm.
And that's a Proverbs 31 woman, isn't it? Now, she's not that woman all the way through the show.
Sure.
But it's a nod to, okay, this is the person that she wants to be. And we have to give credit where credit is due. Nobody is going to be the perfect Proverbs 31 woman. Nobody's going to be the perfect individual because we're ever in process. We're constantly dying to self if we're Christ following.
Yeah. I think that's really good, though, because there's more and more examples that you're bringing up of like, it's like, dudes, just look up. You know, she's dying over there.
Yeah.
She hasn't had a hot meal, you know, take off of work or whatever you need to do to make sure that she gets some time. You cook dinner once. Try that, you know.
Making sure that she's picked up all the stuff around so that when he comes home, which by the way, every time he comes home, he is trailed by how many dogs?
Yeah, there's a lot of dogs. Yeah.
And they're giant bloodhound dogs.
Right.
And he's already angry about the dumb dogs.
Yeah.
That the neighbor never has. Like, this would be a felony now.
There's a
never good, has locked up.
There's good communication there, right? It's to talk to your neighbor about this. Yeah.
Yes. So, but when he comes through that door, I know that there'll probably be an angry husband / father if the kids are, you know. If you noticed even later on where Ralphie is really upset about something, I know my own kid, if he's really upset about something, it may take a couple of, honey, it's time for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Ralphie knew his dad was a stern individual, and he knew to be at dinner. He didn't have to be told by his mother to be downstairs. He heard his dad open the door. He came downstairs, even though he thought his fate was, like, doomed.
Right,
but I don't want to get ahead of it. But, okay, so he's nine. It's in the 1940s, and he wanted a Red Ryder carbon action 200-shot range model air rifle.
Very nice. But you recited that like he did.
I didn't recite it. If you're watching this, you know that. If you're listening, I don't want credit for that.
Well, you read it, but it was still great. Yeah.
So he really wants that for Christmas. And I do love that scene in the beginning of the film where all the little kids, they have their noses pressed up against the glass, the window of the big department store. What's the newest toy? And it makes me think about the song Silver Bells. It makes me think about those... the old Santa, here comes Santa Claus, or what,
yeah.
Those kinds of songs, the nostalgia that I think has kind of gotten lost today. And I'm not necessarily mad that Amazon can deliver.
Sure.
At all. But there is something to be said about the kids getting excited about this store window was going to alert them, not TikTok. What is brand new in the world of toys?
Yeah.
And he was looking for that rifle and there he saw it. And then it just, I mean... his dream world takes over.
I love this. I love the nostalgia in it. Mm-hmm. Can I make a big Jesus juke for a second?
I would appreciate that because this is about finding Jesus.
Well, it is. And it's because I really do love what you said, but I didn't even write this down, but it did cross my mind as you bring this up.
Yes.
I'm sitting here looking at the department store and all the toys, and mm-hmm. It was 1940 is when this is based. And I'm like, is this when it started? Is this when the reason for the season started to get away from us? Like, it was at around when department stores took over and it was about the new toy and the thing. And I know I love that that is an aspect of just this full celebration, but just with where it's gone, it just made me think, yeah. is this when this started? Were there always distractions? Were kids in the 1800s distracted with something else too, like mm-hmm. swinging on a rope off a tree into
absolutely.
A lake, or whatever? But it just kind of hit me that way. And yeah. I'm like, huh.
You know? And we can't blame the decade. We can't blame the era.
Sure.
Because we have been distracted human beings since the fall of man.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're right. And I think in saying, would they have been distracted even if there wasn't a toy store? Yes.
Sure.
Because yeah. I mean, you read about Tom Sawyer not wanting to do his chores. Mm-hmm. He wants to go play with Huck Finn. Kids have been trying to shirk their duties for a while.
Yes, they have.
And I'm pretty sure, and we mentioned this in one of our podcasts a while ago, in talking about what it would have been like to be a Jewish man back in the days of Jesus. They didn't have the luxury of being a teenager, so they went. There's no adolescence. They went straight from being a kid to, I now know my dad's profession as my profession.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you didn't backtalk dad. I mean, a lot of things kind of came along with eras, yes, but I think there's always been distractions. There's always been temptations.
Yeah, true.
And I don't think there's anything bad with having storefronts and department store windows and things like that.
Right.
It's the conversations we need to be having with our children. So, but it seems to me that mom and dad in A Christmas Story do not seem to be Christ followers.
It doesn't seem to be.
They clearly love their kids.
I don't even know if there's a mention of it, to be honest.
No. In fact, I wrote that down. I said, there's no mention of Jesus. Unless, mm-hmm. of course, the slurs that come out
sure.
regarding the basement
yeah.
and other things. For them, this is the focus of Christmas.
Yeah, true.
It's about giving and loving our family well and a nice turkey. And a lot of Americans and people around the world, this is where they live.
Yeah.
And if we're not careful,
we can just be distracted.
We can easily get into that place. Yeah. But it doesn't mean it's evil to enjoy those things. We just have to find the balance.
That's your favorite word.
It's my favorite word.
Can we get right to one of the main parts?
No.
The tongue stuck to the pole.
Was it Schwartz? Was that his name?
It was Schwartz, because it wasn't Flick, right? It was Schwartz. And the argument, you know, will your tongue actually stick? And then
Schwartz wanted Flick to put his tongue.
Yeah, but Flick knew better. Because he had talked to his dad and knew that it would happen.
Flick ended up doing it.
Oh, Flick was the one that did. Okay. All right. So I'm confused on all that.
It doesn't
matter. But regardless, a kid stuck his tongue to a pole. And I love he broke social etiquette by going right to the triple dog dare.
That was really hilarious. Their eyes got big.
Yeah. It's such a great line.
Triple dog.
What it made me think of is, because this is not just when we're kids. This is any time with almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
Pride,
yes.
Ego, yes. Peer pressure, and a couple of verses that I knew Proverbs would have something, and here's a couple. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. That's Proverbs 12:16.
And how many Proverbs could we read about the tongue itself, though?
Well, that's a good point, too. One more. The naive or inexperienced person is easily misled and believes every word he hears. But the prudent man is discreet and astute and considers well where he is going. That's Proverbs 14:15, where he's going so he doesn't get stuck, like, to a pole with his tongue. And they're kids, right? Your kids, you do stuff like that. But it's a great lesson on not letting people influence me in that way.
At the very beginning of every Chosen episode, if you've ever watched The Chosen, they show a bunch of fish, and they're all swimming one direction. And every once in a while, you'll see a fish turn blue and start swimming the opposite way. In connection with that, my kids and I, we like to watch this. It's like a best of internet for that week. It's called The Daily Dose. And this weird aquarium moment where all the fish in the tank are on one side and they're all looking this way at one fish, one lone fish. And you're like, what did that guy do?
Yeah.
They're all like, you know, can you just imagine, like, his name is like Alfred. Alfred.
Yeah.
But he had to be different. And for some reason, all of them. But you know what? In that moment, and it's because we're probably not giant fans. Everybody's screaming the name at us. Whoever it was that stuck his tongue, which I think was Flick. Who cares what other people say?
But it's hard to be that fish on the other side of the tank.
It is very hard.
It's hard.
But God calls us to be something better and bigger than what man calls us to be.
Yeah.
And so being brave and not caring what other people say, yes, it's one thing to say that. It's another thing to actually put it into action. But what am I going to base my life? The guy could have lost. I mean, it's weird that nobody thought to just take some warm water. They had to call the fire department.
Right.
But are you going to be losing an appendage because you've listened to somebody else?
Yeah.
In fact, the Bible is kind of clear on this, and I don't think Jesus meant literally to cut out your eye, out your eye or cut off your hand if it keeps you from the kingdom of heaven, but it's like it's better to lose that stuff. It's better to even lose those friends.
Yeah.
Than to, what are you doing here? So, yeah, I wrote that one down too. In following your own path, which is the one that Jesus dictates, not what man dictates.
Yeah, that's good. Well, these verses, by the way, about a fool, I think segue us right into about the leg lamp. Those verses apply to a dad who thinks he's winning an award or a bowling alley for a second. Like, what is? Where does this even come from? What did he fall for? Is this a scam? Why does he think he won an award for what? And then obviously you get into the leg lamp itself. And it is so just the marriage communication aspect on this, because she instantly hates it.
Yes.
And it reminds me of in Timothy, wives love, or this may be Ephesians, wives love your, husbands love your wives. What does that look like? Mm-hmm. Like what?
Like Christ loved the church is what it says in Ephesians.
So every potential woman is going to be different.
Yes.
Different things. There may be some women, because I think men can start comparing. Well, you know, Dave's wife's cool with it. They have a leg lamp. Well,
I'm not Dave's wife.
Yes. You're called to love me, is what the wife would say. And she clearly hates this thing. And everything's just over his head.
Because he's only thinking about himself.
Yeah. No, that's true.
See, self-centered.
And obviously it's like, why would you want a leg with I think it's a burlesque dancer a lamp?
The most beautiful thing he's ever seen is what he says.
And then he gets all the neighbors' attention when he goes outside.
And weirdly, they're enamored by the stuff that makes no sense. But isn't that just like the world?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, and was reading about idols. And it's mentioned often throughout Scripture. I think it's fascinating that Jesus even calls it out again. I think it's first mentioned in Isaiah, because I looked this up. I found it very interesting. I'm reading the psalm, and it talks about they fashion idols with their hands, and they have ears but do not hear, and they have eyes but do not see, and they have mouths but do not speak. And I'm like, well, wait a second. Why has it never occurred to me that Jesus says this very thing? In quoting Isaiah, it's also reiterated, I think, in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And, you know, like, clearly there's a pattern here. What is this idolatry thing that keeps popping up? And he's actually talking about people, not idols per se, but we do. We get enamored with stuff that will never satisfy, that doesn't make sense.
Right, right.
And we glorify it. We give it This is what I want to be known for. I'm going to light up the street with the ugliest lamp.
Yeah. Well, you see people's social medias on like, wait, you want to be known for this? You know, you were the... let's say the, I'm trying to think of the most appropriate word I can think of. We'll just use this. You want to be the drunk guy on the reality show? Like that's what you want to be?
That's going to be your big claim to fame?
And it's so, and it's just because people, we do crave, I think attention, but obviously acceptance.
So I'm glad you said this. We did an episode a couple whatevers ago. And I really came to feel like I knew a little bit about Matthew Perry because post his passing away, I was really intrigued by reading his book. And when I say reading, I actually wanted to hear him read his own story. And it was a troubling story to listen to. But I love that his stepfather announced on Giving Tuesday, what wasn't so very long ago, would you consider, if you're looking for a way to give to the foundation that we've set up in his name, it's going to help people with addiction. And this is the quote that they have at the site. It says, when I die, and this is Matthew talking, I don't want friends to be the first thing that's mentioned. I want helping others to be the first thing that's mentioned, and I'm going to live the rest of my life proving that. Addiction is far too powerful for anyone to defeat alone, but together, one day at a time, we can beat it down. He doesn't necessarily say we can beat it, but we can beat it down, recognizing this is an ongoing thing that you have to confront every day. That was what he wanted to be known for, which was just is so powerful. And I think his family's working hard to make sure that that's something that may come to fruition. But it's way, way better. And as much as I enjoyed a great comedy, you could save a life or something flashy like a show. I don't want to be known for the flashy thing. I want to be known for something that connects people, not even thinking about Rochelle. They think about Jesus.
Yeah.
The points to Jesus.
That's what's most important.
Yeah.
I did say I was going to compliment the dad.
So you did.
Let me do this with changing the flat. I do love that in this case, the furnace was totally different, but for whatever reason, this caught me. The good attitude over something very inconvenient. Like he just took on this challenge of like, all right, he's almost excited that they got a flat.
Yes.
And I do love that aspect that he was positive in that. And that when Ralphie came out there, and obviously we know what happens if you've seen the movie, but I love that he's like, at first he's like, what are you doing out here? And he's like, Mom told me to come out. And then he's like, that whim of like, I get to pass this on to my boy.
Yeah.
Like and it was just that great father-son bonding for half a second.
You're right.
Until what happens happens.
Well, the thing happened. And he says fudge, but he doesn't say fudge.
He didn't say fudge.
And we here, I want to go down that road so bad with you. I just want to make sure, well, if I go back, it won't be problematic because there were some other things that happened before that scene. But no, let's stick with this thing. Because he says fudge, why does he say it? We know why he says it. Ralphie says it in the narration.
Yeah, because my dad would say it.
And what is she thinking when she's like, who did you hear this from? This word
right.
from? And let's just say the soap situation. Now, some might call it abuse. My mom, who loves me very much and is the most genteel, gracious, loving, calm, peaceful presence I have ever been around, put zest in my mouth as a child.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good punishment.
Just sitting there with zest in your mouth. And there's...
There's nowhere to go.
No. Just right there. And so I get it. But you're in denial. Where are you living? It's your husband. poor guy that on the other end of the phone call who's getting hammered by his mom who thinks, you told my kid that word. That's the only way he heard it.
Yeah.
Passing the blame.
You transition from the parenting and you go right to Ralphie and there's where lying starts.
Exactly.
Look how it affected other people, right?
Well, and not just his lying, but where did he learn the lying from? If mom's in denial about this, I need to be in denial about it too. It wasn't dad because I don't want her mad at me because I said dad. And then she said she'll act like that's not true. And so I'm just going to – everybody's telling a bunch of lies.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's so he learned it from mom and dad.
And you can't be, because dad was instantly surprised and outraged. And I just don't get how you can be if you're using those words in front of. And I think it comes down to a heart issue more than even the words themselves. We just have to be, We have to have integrity with what am I comfortable with? What am I comfortable with my kids saying?
Yeah.
And so that's going to be different for some than others.
Yes.
But you can't be shocked and astounded if you're using any word that you don't want your kids to use in front of your kids.
And then not having a conversation about it.
Yeah.
So full disclosure, the other night I'm driving with my son. I have trouble seeing well at night. Mm-hmm. And we were driving, we made a wrong turn, and a word comes out of my mouth that I do not use around my children. Mm. My son is 14, he's a freshman in high school. He has clearly heard this word a zillion times. It's, and you're like, oh, was it fudge? It wasn't fudge. Yeah. It was not.
Yeah.
But it's still, you know, I don't know why we give degrees to bad words anyway, but you know, there are some that we consider worse than others in society. So I said this word and immediately apologized to my child and started praying out loud, Lord, you got us, you know where we're at. I don't want my brain, my just the way of thinking that I'm kind of in this panicked place right now. I'm trying to figure out how do I get back to where I need to go? You know where we need to be. You know when we need to be there. We're just going to give it to you. And then as I was calming myself down and just praying to God, again, addressed it with my child. I'm really sorry that I said that. And he said, Mom, I hear that word all the time. I said, yeah, but not from me.
Mm, yeah. And, well, I love that. I love the honesty in that.
Yeah.
Because I think you can go one of two ways. And it's the Christian veneer of acting like I've never said anything bad or done anything bad. But then obviously the opposite is what this dad did is just this denial of like, how could you ever, like, could you imagine if later he used that word, if your your son, if Caleb used that word and then you go, well, never, where did you hear that? Well, duh.
He heard it from me.
And so I love the honesty there. There's, listen, we're broken people.
Yeah.
We're messed up.
But there was also accountability.
So, yeah.
Like, he heard the word, but then he heard the apology, and then he heard the acknowledgement to God. So there was a whole lot that he heard there. This was not a permission slip for my child to swear.
Yeah.
I ain't about that. We're not doing that on a regular basis. This is not happening.
Let me finish the compliment, because I only have one more thing after this.
For the dad, you're complimenting dad.
Let me finish the compliment for dad, because it's a lot of, you know, you can just blame him on a lot. But I love this verse from 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Mm. That's 1 Timothy 5:8. So I just look at the situation that they're in. Mm-hmm. No, he's not addressing a lot of needs, especially with the marriage communication of his wife, but he is putting food on that table.
Yeah.
He's providing for that family. He's going to work. He's showing back up at home, and he's fixing the things that need to be fixed, whether good attitude or bad attitude. So I can certainly compliment him there.
Well, I'm glad that you're doing that too, because it's really easy to see the bad stuff for everything.
Oh, yeah.
It?
Yeah.
We're the best critics of other people. It's really difficult when we look in the mirror and start, well, I guess I do that.
Yeah, sometimes. But I didn't mean it.
Something interesting that did happen in the first moment where we see, then clearly we're not working with a guy who is the next, you know, Alfred? Alfred Einstein.
The fish? Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
The irony of what I just did. Albert Einstein.
He ain't no Alfred Einstein.
Well, and neither is she. He's no Albert Einstein because he reads the word fragile as fragile.
Right.
Wow, must be Italian.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, I think it's fragile, honey. So clearly we know who is Albert Einstein in the family.
Yeah, right.
But he stands there and pulls this ugly thing out of the box and gives it to the one who should be beholding the admiration. And so here the irony to me is not lost. She is holding the thing that has his admiration, and she should be the one that has it.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the movie, you know, you do see a sweet moment between them. They love each other.
Sure.
But we can do better. If we see moments like that, how do I do that with my husband?
Yeah.
How, you know, we're not absolved of these things as Christ followers. These are ways for the Holy Spirit to help us identify something, kind of maybe poking me.
I
kind of do the thing.
I have seen some great believers, whether it be work or whether it be couples, and they just don't get it, like on a certain aspect of life. Mm. It's just not getting through. It's like, how do you not see that in this, you know, maybe it's a boss. How do you not see that you're incredibly micromanaging everybody? Like, how do you not see that this is hurting people? Even though in all these other categories, you know, you're this person of God and you really are, you know, kind in other ways. Mm-hmm. But it's just like we can get, I think that's just the fall of man. There's just aspects of our personality that are going to be affected.
We got our blinders on.
We are going to have blinders in a certain area of life. And that's, hey, you know, kudos if a couple like this is willing to go to counseling, because that's one of those things like, okay, yeah, they're making it okay. But counseling could be good for a couple like this from A Christmas Story.
I do, if we're going to compliment a little bit too, the rules, they have rules in the house and they have consequences. I mean, yeah. We mentioned earlier that, you know, Ralphie did come to dinner after he said, well, no, that was when he got in the fight with a bully, wasn't it?
Right.
That's what I'm thinking of. But there were some consequences to actions. We do see that. And for the most part, oh, yeah, he's a good kid. Boys are boys. You know, we also see them, you know, kill one another to try to get up to the stairs first or get their clothes on first or whatever it is first, because that's what brothers do. But I'll be honest, I was a little sister and my brother and I did that too. It didn't matter if sure. Did I just lose a tree?
Oh, you lost your earring.
Oh, no.
And you were not.
This is not the main thing, Carter.
No, it's not.
This is a
and
thing.
You just threw it away. And if you're not watching this, you're missing all of the action right now. You text the word quiet to the number 893-893.
Her expensive tree that was made of felt.
She has one earring left.
And little pom-pom balls.
All right, the last thing I have is about the bully. Do you have anything you want to get to before the bully?
I've got so much stuff before we even get to the bully.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Okay, well, it's not that much. It's just one thing. It's
outrage.
She has nothing if she's not dramatic. The teacher... She's kind of a fun example of maybe Jesus in the moment. He is our teacher. Ralphie is super excited about the thing that he's micro-focused on. And when he's given an assignment by the teacher to do something that is, it's about what he's about. He doesn't even listen to the rules that may be applied here. He doesn't listen to anything else. He's like, she is going to think that I hung the moon. And he even like tries a bribe. He like brings in this really nice gift to the teacher. Everybody's giving her a little something for Christmas time. He brings in this giant bowl of tropical fruit.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah.
And he won't walk away.
Right. And she's like, thank you, Ralphie. But that's not going to change. And first, two things. Jesus is not interested in my perspective on what he's asking me to be a part of.
Sure.
He's asking for an assignment to be followed through because guess what? He has a perspective that is grander and can see from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And he's asking me to follow in suit. So but I thought when I read the scripture, it was this.
Mm-hmm.
No, I thought that's what this meant. And when you go on later to find out maybe context or whatever it is, you go, oh, that's not what that means. Something silly you may have heard your whole life and you're like, well, that's what the Bible says, and you find out it wasn't in the Bible or whatever.
Godliness is next to cleanliness or cleanliness. So
that's a silly example. But even stuff that you thought that you knew, this is what God wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out, Jesus peels those blinders off for maybe it's a humiliating moment. Maybe it's like the money wasn't there for the thing that you thought was going to be funded miraculously or whatever it is. And you're just, oh.
Yeah.
Maybe I was following what I thought and not what he thought.
Well, I think you think of people that have predicted the end of the world. And you know, they're on top of a hill in white robes, you know, and then the end of the world doesn't come. And it's that kind of, it can be that way of anything in life, right?
You have this bold passion for it, but you may be passionate about the wrong thing.
Can you be sincerely wrong?
Yeah.
You can be sincere. Can you be sincerely wrong?
Absolutely.
And I think that's so true to just continue. But that's just going to happen as we dig more into our faith.
Yeah.
And we're going to see more things from his perspective.
And in the case of the bribe, can you bribe Jesus to go your way?
Right.
Ralphie still got a C+.
He got a C+.
He did not get he thought he was going to get A++, and that teacher wrote the pluses. I don't know if you saw this, but like she was writing them around the room.
Yeah.
Like she ran out of chalkboard and she was still doing pluses. And no, you can't gift your way into heaven. You can't bribe your way into heaven.
Mm-hmm. You can't go to church enough to get your way into heaven.
You cannot get into the good graces of Jesus by whatever tangible. No, it's through the cross.
Yeah.
It's through his gift.
Yeah.
You got into heaven. Me. Yeah. I got into heaven.
That's right.
And I think that does sometimes, even after acknowledging that's true, can be a struggle for us to release those things and go, wait a second. It's not about me being good enough. It's about me recognizing I am a sinner saved by grace.
I love this in Romans 4. I mean, the whole Romans is just great. But
Romans is pretty awesome.
Romans 4, it just mine is labeled Abraham justified by faith. And that's what the whole, you know, context is. But I love starting at verse 16. It says, so the promise or salvation is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. And it goes on, and I mean, verses 20, 23, 24 are so good that it's, you know, how Abraham was counted righteous because he believed. And that it's that's also for recorded for our benefit too. And so I mean, it's exactly what you're saying is if you're ever curious, like, man, do I know if I'm going to heaven or not? Mm-hmm. You know, it says the word certain there in that translation that it's by faith alone that we're made right. So a fruit basket ain't going
to
do it.
No matter how much pineapple is not indigenous to the area that you're in.
Right, right, yeah.
But the bullying situation— did it trouble anybody else watching this? And I don't think the first time I watched it, I wouldn't have thought anything about it. But after Ralphie has had enough, and this bully, I don't know what these kids are thinking when he's like, hey, come over here.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I don't wanna.
No. And then one kid finally does.
Fine. And he puts his arm behind his back so he can like, uncle.
Yeah.
You didn't have to go over there.
Walk away.
We don't even have to get into I mean, that's low-hanging fruit.
Yes.
Don't go over there.
I think let's go back to the Proverbs verses about fools.
So there's that. But this bully, we know why bullies bully. Now, we may not know the specific reasons, but generally they're projecting onto others something that's going on within their own self, their personal life, whatever.
Yeah.
They're not receiving the kind of love and attention they need. What bothers me is not that Ralphie beats up this bully. And he's finally come to the place where he's like, you know, the teacher's like, you get a C+. He knew he was going to get an A+. He gets a C+.
Yeah.
And she writes down, you'll shoot your eye out.
Oh, and that just ticked him off.
I've tried everything there is to try, I feel like, and I'm not going to get the present that I want. And this was the whole focus of Christmas for me. It's not about Jesus. You know, this is it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's nothing else. And he beats up this bully, and when his mom arrives on the scene finally, by the way, the other kids are like, finally.
Right, because, yeah.
Because he's been—
well, somebody stopped the bully. Yeah.
She doesn't, like, listen, as a mom of boys, yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that there's going to be a kid in the class that's a toot that you wish.
Is that the word you used in the car the other night?
It was. And if I hear you, Caleb, say that word— no, but there's going to be a kid that's a toot. And inside you're thinking when your son comes home and tells you the story about the toot in the class that did the thing to you, inside you're thinking, if I had 10 seconds with this kid.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't say that. As a mom, you're like, well, honey, perhaps something is going on at home. Or
right.
You handle it the right way.
Yeah.
And she doesn't even look at that kid.
No, she just takes her own son and goes home.
She looks at Ralphie's crying, and that's all she needs. She leaves him as a bloody pulp.
Doesn't even call his mom. Nope. That's true.
Today, the police
canceled.
Would be called.
She's
like,
canceled.
Your son is no longer allowed in our school.
Yep. Nancy Grace is doing a story about you every day on her, if she still has a show.
There were, you were witness, but you also, like, you didn't stop him. So now you're.
I know. She's going to jail. The bullying thing was interesting to me because with standing up to a bully,
Nancy Grace, I'm sorry.
Did that just come through? I love that. The Bible upholds our right to self-defense, but not retaliation.
That's right.
So you can see where Ralphie crosses the line. And honestly, it's from the beginning in this specific instance, because it was all the frustration that comes out. Mm-hmm. It was all about the bad day he was having than even self-defense in the first place.
Yes.
There are other times it could have been self-defense. Today, it was all about him taking it out on somebody. So Ralphie struck first, like Han Solo shot first. Ralphie struck first.
He did.
Now turn the other cheek is in regards to ridicule. Mm-hmm. And you know, Jesus is calling us, if there's these slight offenses, if people are just making fun of you in general, mm-hmm. that's where we turn the other cheek. But you see in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, you have the right to defend yourself mm-hmm. physically. Mm-hmm. But where it would be, even if this kid started on this day, mm-hmm. you can see where Ralphie would cross a line once that yeah. kid has given up.
Well, it's a heart issue.
Quit punching if that kid has given up. But again, yeah. from the beginning today, this is where turn the other cheek should have been used. Mm-hmm. He's having a bad day. That kid said what he said, and Ralphie should have walked away.
Yeah.
That's the biblical principle.
Well, he got hit in the face with a snowball.
Okay, still.
So you walk and his away. Glasses got knocked off.
Yeah.
And I think that kid would have followed him. And I watched this beginning to end, right? So I did see that there is this sequence that happens day in and day out. First of all, the kid brother is wearing way too many clothes. Have we even addressed that?
Dude.
How many snowsuits?
I know.
And she's like,
it's terrible.
It's awesome. Yeah. So you can't put his arms down, but they're like every single day on their way to school and from school, these bullies are ready. They're going to pounce and they're using the music, literally using the music. Peter and the Wolf.
Okay.
And he's like a wolf, so ready to pounce. If he had not like said enough is enough in maybe a self-defense snowball thrown back,
uh-huh.
then perhaps we could be looking at he's still going to be chased. And per what you were saying with self-defense, but no, he definitely crossed the line. It wasn't about that anymore. It was about he wasn't going to get his rifle. Yeah.
Well, I'm that way in traffic, right? You know, it's like certain days people cut me off and I'm having a good day and I'm sipping my coffee and I'm like, okay, whatever. And then certain days it's like, don't you dare mess with me.
Yes.
Don't you dare. I'm going to speed up, you know?
Or you know that you've crossed the line, but anybody looking at you doesn't know that in your heart.
That's true too. Yeah.
You've done the thing.
You got to gauge it for yourself.
The Holy Spirit's checked you on it.
Yeah.
And they're like, I've received apologies like that or even given them where a person knew that they had crossed the line. And even though I didn't experience them as doing that.
Sure. Yeah. It was still your conscious.
Yes. They were like, but I feel like I did.
Yeah.
And I want to apologize and don't ever brush that aside.
Sure. Sure.
No, you're good.
Yeah.
We're good. That's everything's good. And allow that to be. But it needs to be.
That's about all I had for the whole movie. Because the end is obviously the funny part and the bunny costume and all the stuff.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Okay, so the fudge thing. We see Blaine keeps getting transferred from person to person.
Right.
We see the bullying thing happen. And we're seeing mom, you can call it what you want, a snow job with dad when it comes to like, I'm not going to give him all the details about what happened today after school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, it's like yada yadaing over something, right?
Sure.
Well, I picked up the kids. Where were his glasses? Well, you know, he got into something today, but yada, yada, yada. Hey, did you hear about I think it was the Bears she was bringing up.
Okay.
Sports. And he quickly got distracted and went on. So she technically told him.
Right.
But we hear from Ralphie, and I understand this. I think sometimes when... I don't mean to, if you're that kind of mom who knows that husband might be prone to overreaction and he's tired and maybe doesn't need to know all the details and you're sparing him and you feel like maybe that's an okay place to be as a mom.
Yeah.
That's between you and the Holy Spirit. But I also was like looking for these little tidbits. It's like, what are we teaching our children though?
Yeah. It's not open communication. It's not, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not intellectually honest.
Mm-mm.
Really?
Yeah.
To sit here and then your kids see that as an example and...
Yeah. And he's relieved. And thank God he's relieved. Because we've seen his dad when he's mad. And he gets mad at the furnace. How much more is he going to be mad at? And like even his kid brother is sitting under the sink. Dad's going to kill Ralphie, you know? It's coming. We all know it's coming. And she just kind of pours water on the fire that's never going to be by just... I don't know. She's just... choosing to
bypass it. Yeah.
Some of it. And that's a choice. I think for me, if I do that in the moment, because I see my husband stressed out, I'll always return to it later in the night when he's at a chance to just come off the thing from work or whatever.
Sure,
and say, hey,
sure.
Just so you know, this stuff happened. It's
You can do it at the right time. Sure.
Do it at the right time. Yeah. But also then going back to your kids and now we're all going to sit down, we're going to be calm and we're going to talk about what happened.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a better approach than just pretending it never happened. Well,
I think as we kind of look back at this whole movie, I think it is such an example, not necessarily a good one. It's an example for us to be in the family unit or even just a relationship if it's just you and a spouse or, hey, even dating and getting ready for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Communication.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. and how to properly deal and love language.
And we love each other.
And emotional intelligence. And yeah, all of that.
And Ralphie, what does he learn from that? He learned to tell a lie about shooting his eye out.
Yep. That's true.
And we all do this too. When we know the thing is going to happen in the movie because we've seen it a zillion times or whatever, but you still are like hoping that he doesn't put the target for target practice on a metal sign.
It's like, dude, and what are you doing?
Ping. I know. And then he's like, what am I going to do? And then one lie leads to another.
Yeah.
And he's thinking on his feet, isn't he? But now the door has been left open and the crazy dogs come in.
Yeah.
And destroy the meal. And she's kind of stepped into her own mess because she's taught her child to be in denial about things, to not be forthcoming about things. He is not now going to be forthcoming about this. It worked on Dad.
Right, right.
Now I'm going to try this on Mom.
Yeah.
And now we have no more Thanksgiving turkey. She had been slaving over it, still had another hour to cook, according to her. And I will say, though, to me, it ended so lovely because I will go Chinese food any day.
That's great. I love this. This is Finding Jesus in our favorite Christmas movies. And next week, we'll do another one.
Oh,
yeah. You got to show that. So, oh, I can't believe you did
the
this.
The pink costume. Come on. Have we all been that person that buys the costume
apparently
for somebody?
Apparently so.
Can you see?
You did this with your kids. It's not pink, but you dressed them up as bunnies. Again, you need to see this.
Can you see it? We got a guy working there. Okay.
This travesty that you need to see. So well, you subscribe to our YouTube channel and you see stuff like
do you
this.
You see that this is not the only one.
What else did you do?
Do you want to see more?
I don't know if I do. I'm horrified.
He can't move. He's like
what
a
is
kid.
He? What is he? A snowman?
He's a snowman.
Okay. More of this and maybe family photo albums next week on the Anything But Quiet Time podcast.